It's so important to beware of counterfeits. You know how it is sometimes when you go into the newsagent, to the shop, and the shopkeeper, you hand him over your note, maybe £5, £10, £20, or whatever the note is, but you hand it over to the shopkeeper, and he's got his wee pen, and he runs his wee pen across it, and you think, don't be writing over my money. But it's not an ordinary pen, it's a special pen, an invisible pen. But he uses that to find out whether your money is counterfeit or not. It's so important in these days not to be taken in by counterfeits. We need to know the difference between what's true and what's false. Well, you know, it's the same when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And we need to know today what is the true Holy Spirit and what's the false Spirit. Because there is a lot of deception around today, and there are many, many televangelists and many, many people in the charismatic movement today presenting a spirit, but it's certainly not the Holy Spirit. There are people that we need to beware of. You've heard of Benny Hinn, Jesse Duplantis, Rodney Hard Brown. Let me just stop there. Do you know what Rodney Hard Brown calls himself? The Holy Ghost bartender. He's one of these charismatic leaders. He's been around for years. He kind of disappeared into the wilderness there for a few years, but he's back on the scene now. But he calls himself the Holy Ghost bartender. We would say the barman. The Holy Ghost bartender. Well, I think that's blasphemy for anyone to use such language about the blessed Holy Ghost. And he's a heretic. And if you want more information about Rodney Hard Brown, you come to me and I'll be able to furnish you with all the information that you want. But he says that he's able to dispense the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And people come to his meetings and people come to his crusades. And he says that he's the Holy Ghost bartender. And just as a barman would give out the drinks in a bar or a nightclub, well, Rodney Hard Brown claims to be able to give out the Holy Spirit. And he claims to be able to make you drunk in the Spirit. You ever heard that phrase? That statement, being drunk in the Spirit. There's a lot of people today caught up in such nonsense. The Bible says that the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Listen to this last part, and of a sound mind. You see, people who claim to be drunk in the Spirit, they go into, it's like a trance. So I want to make it clear tonight, I want to warn you tonight, anything that takes away your sound mind is not of God. Anything that will take away your, as it were, that ability to think clearly, anything that clouds your mind, confuses your mind, it is not of God. Because the Holy Spirit will not take away your sound mind, because the sound mind is a gift from the Lord. So the Spirit of God is not going to take away the soundness of your mind. We need to beware. We need to be so careful about these things that are going around today. Holy laughter. Rodney Hard Brown is into holy laughter. People laughing hysterically in meetings. He says that there was one, this is his own words now, by the way, one particular meeting that he was speaking at, he was preaching about hell. And he said that people started to laugh in the middle of that sermon about hell, this supposed holy laughter. And was Rodney Hard Brown appalled by this? Not at all. He thought it was great. It was the Holy Spirit had come. Well, I want to tell you tonight, friends, the Holy Spirit will not make you laugh when you hear a sermon about hell. Holy laughter. We could just write over it three words, not of God. We could talk today about New Age practices, Hindu practices that are creeping in and indeed flooding into so-called churches today. People think it's the Holy Spirit, but it's actually a Hindu spirit. You've heard perhaps of Kundalini, the Kundalini spirit, the spirit of Eastern religion. Have you ever heard anybody say, the Lord's able to heal you, now let me pray with you. Now, do you feel anything? And they lay hands on you. Do you feel a lovely warm feeling going up your spine? Do you feel a lovely warm feeling in your arm? This is supposedly the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to tell you tonight, the Bible doesn't talk about any such nonsense. Warm feelings, ice-cold feelings. It's not in Scripture. It's counterfeit. Need I go on? Oh, we need to beware of a false Holy Ghost. Now let's come to the real Holy Ghost, as he's found in Scripture. In Acts chapter 2, we have first of all there the scene that's set for us. The scene, I want you to think about that, the scene. Tells us in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. 2,000 years ago, whenever the Holy Spirit descended on the day of Pentecost, you notice the disciples were sitting. Sitting. Not rolling around the floor. Not lying on the ground. Not doing carpet time. No, they were sitting. And they were sitting in a dignified, respectful way, worshiping the Lord in prayer, showing reverence and respect to the Holy God of heaven. So I want to say tonight that you're doing a very scriptural thing. You're sitting. Oh, I know people laugh and scoff and say, you need to loosen up and you need to just let your inhibitions go and worship the Lord whatever way you want to. And if you want to roll about and jump about and whatever, just do it. But we don't find the disciples in the upper room jumping and dancing and rolling about. They were seated. Be still and know that I am God. We all know that verse. From childhood, be still and know that I am God. Well, you know, I never really thought about it, but recently I began to think about it. The Lord tells us literally to be still. It's not just telling us to trust Him and to be at peace, that He's in control, but I believe that the Lord would teach us that we're to literally be still. If we want to know Him, if we want to get to know Him better, we need to be still. Or to put it another way, pay attention. You know how it is, boys and girls in school? You've got to sit up and pay attention to your teacher, don't you? Well, the Lord, He's our great teacher. And every Sunday as we come to His house, He wants to speak to us and He wants to teach us. And He says, be still. So it's interesting here that this is a very dignified scene in Acts chapter 2. I want you to move on. Not only do you have the scene, but you've also got the sound. The sound. Because it tells us that there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, these apostles and disciples, you will notice that they did not feel the wind. They did not feel the wind. They just heard the wind. The wind, of course, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 3, he's speaking there to Nicodemus. He says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whither it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." The wind is a picture of the Holy Spirit. You know how important wind is for a sailing boat, a yacht, the wind and the sails. You know how important the wind is for the turbines that produce the power. Wind is so important in the literal sense. But my, the wind of the Spirit is so important in the spiritual sense. But this wind was something that was heard. It was not something that was felt. But you know, again, you've got to beware, because this spectacular incident and this spectacular sound was a once-for-all sound. I want you really to grasp that tonight. This was a once-for-all phenomenon. In other words, what happened on the day of Pentecost never needed to be repeated, and it has never been repeated. What happened on the day of Pentecost was a one-off event, and the sound of the wind was a one-off event. I'm reading a book at the present time. It's a young man who was caught up in the charismatic movement, but he was delivered out of it. And he tells the story of being in one particular service, and the Holy Spirit supposedly had come into the building. And people were swaying around. They were falling over, some of them falling on top of each other. And it was, according to the preacher, the Holy Spirit had come, and the whole place was hysterical. And this young man, he heard the noise, the sound of a wind. What sounded like the wind? Do you know what he did? He looked up to the front of the church, to the pulpit. Do you know what the preacher was doing? Blowing into the microphone. That really happened. And what's so tragic and what's so sad is that people can't see through it. Well, as soon as that young man saw what had happened and saw the antics of the man at the microphone, of course, the alarm bells immediately started to ring, and eventually he came out of that system and came out into the light and the truth of God's Word. But there are people today who are caught up in things like this, and we need to pray for them. The reason why I'm touching on these things tonight, the reason why I'm mentioning these things, is so that you'll know what's going on and that you'll be able to pray for people in our land that are caught up in these deceptions. Oh, the wind of the Spirit is what we need. What we need is the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. What we need is the Holy Spirit to awaken those who are lost in their sins. We need the Holy Spirit to move by His mighty power. And so here's the sound, the wind. But there's also the sight. You've got the scene, you've got the sound, you've got the sight, because there's the fire, the tongues of fire. Notice what tells us there in verse 3, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The fire, the tongues of fire rest upon the disciples. Again, this is something that only occurred on the day of Pentecost. It was if you want to use the theological word, ephemeral. ephemeral. It just means that it's once for all. It's something that isn't repeated. And you will hear today in charismatic circles a lot of talk about fire. And a lot of these preachers will shout, even in their meetings, fire, fire. And they'll say that the fire has fallen. I'm going to tell you tonight, it's strange fire. There's a very sad event took place in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10. You can read it when you go home tonight. Nadab and Abihu, the two sons of Aaron, they offered strange fire unto the Lord. They were destroyed. You know, there's a lot of strange fire around in religious circles today. And tragically and sadly, people are going to be destroyed by it. And it's so sad that there are people who get caught up in the hyper-Pentecostal movement. And everything seems to be wonderful for a period of time. But then it all fizzles out. You know what's so sad? Those people are physical and mental wrecks. That's why I speak against these things. It's because we care for people. I know of a minister, I remember speaking to a minister. He started to tell me about a young man who went and got caught up in charismatic nonsense. And he was harmed. And he was hurt. And he was scarred and damaged. But thank God tonight, the message I bring is not a depressing message. I'm glad that people can be delivered from these falsehoods and these deceptions. And I'm glad the Lord can bring healing. I'm glad the Lord can bring a sound mind. It's so sad that people who get involved in these things, so often when you go to speak to them, it's like speaking to the wall. And they just can't see the problem. They can't see the danger. But I'm glad tonight that the blessed Holy Spirit, the true, the real Holy Spirit, is able to open their eyes. Oh, we want the fire to fall. But it's not any literal fire. It's not a physical manifestation that you can see with your eyes. We want the fire of the Holy Spirit to fall as Christ is preached. And you'll not see it, but you'll see the evidence of it when people are humbled and realize their sinfulness and cry out to God for mercy. And pride is burned up. And all the pretense and everything else that goes with it is burned up and taken away. And the person is just laid bare before the Lord. And they're just right down in the dust before the Lord. I'm not saying it has to happen in a church service. It could happen on the side of the road. It could happen in the person's house. It could happen anywhere. But when I tell you, friends, when the true fire of the Holy Ghost falls upon a church or a community, it's a blessed thing. And souls are saved. And backsliders are restored. And the whole spiritual climate and the spiritual landscape is changed. And crime decreases. And moral evils disappear. May we live in a day and generation. Oh, the filth that's around today, the sin that is practiced. But it's not just the fact that it's practiced, it's the fact that it's promoted. Whenever you get governments promoting sin, you know there's something badly wrong. Oh, we need the fire to deal with those things, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Let me finish tonight. You've got the scene, you've got the sound, you've got the sight, then you've got the sign, the sign. Because the tongues there, we can't finish without referring to the tongues. You see, what happens, these tongues of fire fall upon the believers in the upper room. And then these people, and I mean, as I said a few weeks ago, they're really just country bumpkins, ignorant and unlearned people. These are not educated people from Jerusalem. These are fishermen, tax collectors. Nobody's from Galilee. But the Holy Ghost falls upon them, and the tongues of fire rest upon them, and they begin to preach. These 11 apostles, they're preaching. And it's not just that they're preaching in their own language, but they're preaching in other languages, languages that they haven't learned. These apostles didn't go to language school to learn these different languages. No, this is a miracle. The Holy Ghost gives them the ability to speak in these world languages immediately. Boy, it would be good if that happened today. I know there'd be a lot of missionaries would love that. But you see, Pentecost, and what happened on the day of Pentecost was a once-for-all event. It's not repeated. I want you to really get that. And so here we have on the day of Pentecost, this remarkable event, the disciples, they're given the ability to speak world languages. And as I said earlier, it's actually more specific than that. It's even the dialects within the languages. And that's what tongues are. Just want to get that clear before we go any further. World languages. Not some heavenly language. Not some unknown tongue. Not gibberish. No, these people didn't need any interpreters to understand what was being preached that day. They understood perfectly because it was in their own language. It was even in their own dialect. Now, I said that the tongues were a sign. The Scripture tells us that tongues are a sign not to believers, but to unbelievers. That's what the Apostle Paul said. They were a sign, particularly to the Jews. You see, these people who have gathered in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, they're Jews. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it tells us the Jews require a sign. Now, what's the sign all about? The sign is vindicating the gospel. The sign is proving to these Jews that the gospel is true, that Jesus Christ wasn't an imposter, but he really was the Son of God, and he really did die for sinners. He's the long-awaited Messiah, and he rose from the dead, and he is the Savior of the world. That's what the tongues were all about on the day of Pentecost. And there were a lot of people who were convinced by the sign. In fact, 3,000 people were convinced. 3,000 people believed the gospel. I don't read anything here about mass healings. This is not a great healing crusade. Don't read anything about healings in Acts chapter 2. No, it's salvation. It's souls being converted. And it's the sign. The sign to prove the truth of the gospel. We could say so much more about tongues. It's a big subject. It's an important subject. We don't have the time to do it tonight. Perhaps we'll come back to it. I know that we have had a series in the Holy Spirit. I've been thinking recently about taking up that series again because there's so much that can be said about the Holy Spirit. But friends, let me just say this before we finish. When the Holy Spirit gave those apostles the ability to speak in tongues, it was not nonsense. It was not gobbledygook. It was known world languages, spoken world languages. Just look at the list of place names that are mentioned there, verses 9, 10, and 11. People from all over the Roman Empire, they've come to Jerusalem, and there's a miracle takes place. The Holy Spirit gives these 11 men the ability to stand up and preach. The other 109 Christians who were in the upper room, they too received this miraculous ability. And they're going round, not laying hands on people to cure people and to heal people. No, they're going around preaching Christ. You see, that's the priority, isn't it? Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Of course, tongues have ceased. The sign of tongues has ceased. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Friends, we need to understand the difference between the true Holy Spirit and a counterfeit spirit. And you see, we need to go from the church tonight with hearts of compassion for people who have been deceived. Sometimes people will come to you and they'll come to me and they will say, but I had an experience. This happened to me, this happened to me, or this happened to me. How do you explain that? And there are some Christians who turn around and say, it was only your imagination. You only imagined it. It didn't really happen to you. Don't say that. Just ask the question, what you experienced, was it of God? Don't try to belittle what they experienced, because that individual may well have had that experience, whatever it was, however weird and wacky it was. Just ask them, was it from the Lord? Or was it another spirit?